Good morning. Good to see you this morning. As you will notice, our captains are not with us this morning. They've been to councils during this week, and then they thought they'd take a few days off that's owed to them. So wherever they are, if they're listening to us when this play back to them, have a good time. We're missing you. Well, I am anyway. So, but welcome to you all to worship. But now, Heba, would you stand, please? Now, does anybody remember her?
Yes.
You sure? Yeah, and the family here with you as well. Yes. That's great. Nice to see you. Will you welcome the family as well? Following our worship this morning, there's tea and coffee, and it's free to you. Okay, right. And you can join us as well. We will be having an open air at 12:05, and if you want to join us, we would appreciate that. Now, it's half term this week, and so there's no Sallywags on Monday, and there's no Friends Together on Wednesday, but there is a Thursday coffee morning. Surely, Thursday coffee morning, you see, between 10 and 12. Next Sunday is slightly different. We're celebrating the harvest of the sea, and we have some special guests coming for that particular meeting. Now, we all know little Archie with his trumpet, who runs around the hall, plays at the wrong time, and all that sort of thing, full of life. Well, you'll be sad to know that whilst on holiday in Turkey, he fell and broke his leg. And I think my information is they were flying him back to Gatwick last night and straight to Ipswich Hospital for an immediate operation. So please remember little Archie in your prayers, and of course their family also. Well, now, I wonder what we should do when we hadn't got the captain. So I thought we'd do something slightly different, because those of you who've got small children, those of you who've got small grandchildren, will know when they're in your house or when they come to stay, the mornings can be quite difficult, because most of the time they don't want to stay in bed, and they come and they give you sort of like an early morning wake-up call. And I'm looking at you this morning, I think that's exactly what you need, a wake-up call. So we're going to think this morning in our worship about the wonderful power of the love and the love of God. But I've got some school children who are going to sing to you about God's love. You can join in if you like, because the words will appear. But if you just want to listen, and this is what our message is going to be this morning. Thank you, Dan. Well, if you can do all those things, you know what it is to have the love of God in your heart. But I wonder if we serve with all our might and we love with all our might. Well, this morning we're going to think about God's love for you and our love for him. I did forget one little announcement. As you leave, you'll see a beautiful bouquet think that's the right word for it, of flowers on the table. And these are in flowers are in memory of Karen Head, who died 10 years ago, but used to worship here, and the family wanted to remember her today. So that's what the flowers are on the table as you leave this morning. Now to continue with our worship, and we're going to sing together a song 912 in the song book, and it says, "Would you know why I love Jesus, why he is so dear to me? Because my blessed Saviour from my sins has ransomed me." Have you been set free from your sins? Two of you have, so I've got plenty of chance now. So we'll stand, and the band will give us an introduction, and we'll join in. Thank you very much. Verse, would you know why I love Jesus, why he is so dear to me? 'Tis because amid temptation he supports, he's a great God, isn't he? He supports us in the most difficult times in our lives. We'll sing verses 4 and 5. Please be seated. It's a wonderful experience to have the love of God in your heart and in your life. But it doesn't mean that because we have that we're something up here and other people are down there. It simply means that we can be channels for the Lord. And we have a little chorus in the Salvation Army that says, "Channels only, blessed Master. But with all thy wondrous power flowing through me, thou canst use me every day and every hour." And so we are to be channels for the Lord. His love comes into our lives, and then we share it and we channel it to others. This morning, we're going to use this chorus a couple of times in prayer, and let the words speak to you. Are you a channel? Are you a channel that can be used by the Lord? Only you know the answer to that. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, that's the sort of people we want to be for you, filled with your love so that you can use us as channels to bring blessing to others. Pray this morning for everyone here who's come to worship, that by the end of our worship we will know a little bit more about your love and what you think about us and how much you care for us. And that we may allow you to come into our hearts and show your love to others. We pray this morning for those who are unable to be with us. We pray for our captains and pray that they enjoy their short break. For those who are not well, we ask your blessing upon them. And pray, Lord, now that simply as we worship you, we shall feel your presence and your power and your love in our hearts. I ask this on behalf of myself and the congregation. Amen. Amen. Well, it's always good to have the songsters here, and they're going to come and bring us a song called If Your Presence. And there's one phrase that, as we've been rehearsing it, that keep coming back to me. It's where it says, let your presence be my guide. Let your presence be my guide. Let the love of God be the guide in your life. Songsters, please, In Your Presence. Thank you very much, songsters, for that lovely song. Let your presence be my guide. Now, young people, where are you? Yeah, come on here, yeah. You see, that's it. And where's Flossie? You there? Come on, Flossie. Anyone else wants to come and join us? But if not, it's going to be you, me, and him. So, right, this way. Right. Now, what you've got to do, right, you've got to watch that screen, and you can all watch it as well. And some two girls are going to show us a song. Now, I have to tell you this, they're not the best singers in the world, and they certainly wouldn't strictly come dancing for their dancing, but they're full of the joy and the love of the Lord. So we have got to watch it. It only lasts for 1 minute, 40 seconds, and then we've got to remember the actions, and so have they, and then we've got to watch them sing this song. So you've got 1 minute, 40 seconds. I think you all know the song, but let's, shall we, are you ready? Right, go on then. Can you rewind it? Lovely. You'll have to stand up because when you get to this bit, I'll follow you. So let's stand and do the actions, do the song, and God's love is wonderful. Are we ready? Right.
So wonderful, oh, wonderful love. you very much.
Right, stand there. You may be seated. If you're visiting us for the first time, we apologise for that. But our captain is bent on making us spiritually alive and physically fit. And so every Sunday we have to do something like that. Are you going somewhere, Rosie? My wife is leaving me. So, children, if you go with Rosie to Sunday school, she's got some exciting things there today. Yeah, that's lovely. They'll be back. We'll bring them back later. But now we're going to take up the offering. And I'm old-fashioned, you see. I remember the army in the old days. And we always used to have the pianist playing while we give our offering. No singing. So you can remain seated. And during this piano solo by John Thriller. He thinks because he's playing, he doesn't have to put his money in, but we'll get it afterwards, okay. So John, we'll leave it to you, and ladies, you take up the offering. Thank you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the many blessings that you bring to us. We are so thankful that, unlike many in the world today, we do have food to eat and a home to go to. Pray this morning that as we've given in the offering, that you will receive it. It's coming from people who love you, and that it will be used wisely for your kingdom's sake here in our town of Felixstowe. I ask this on behalf of each of us here. Amen. Amen. Well, watching my two friends dancing in the front seat, I don't know what their idea of upbeat is, but I think what the band are going to play is an upbeat music about what a friend we have in Jesus. But that's my opinion. So here we are, the band with What a Friend. Thank you. Was that upbeat?
Yes.
Phew, it's hard work too, I tell you. Well, now, we changed the mood from that lovely piece by the band. And I'm going to invite you now all to join in with me as we read together what must be the best love chapter in the Bible, from Corinthians 1, chapter 13. And the words are on the screen. So if we can start together and finish together, it'll be great. So let's read together from verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. May God add his blessing to our reading from his word. We're going to sing again now, and it's number 466 in your songbook, and it's I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene and Wonder How He Could Love Me, a Sinner Condemned Unclean. We'll stand together as we sing this, and I say if it's in your songbook, it's 466.
Thank you.
Amen. Please be seated. How wonderful, how marvelous is my Saviour's love for me. I hope you experience that. As I look around the congregation this morning, I doubt that there is anyone here who knew my mother. She was older than me, as she was, yeah. But I don't think anyone here knew my mother. Did you? I told her not to speak to you, so it's... Well done, Dougie. Well, my mother was the second child of a poverty-stricken family of 11. And her job was to go down to the pawn shop every week and take in something to exchange so they had money for food. But it so happened, a young Salvationist worked in that shop and one day invited my then 14-year-old mother to the army. After initial amusement, it turned to interest and then to commitment. And on the 23rd of April, 1923, she offered her life to the Lord and became ready to serve him wherever that may be. However, her parents disagreed and became what she described as a wall of opposition. Their mockery, although didn't reflect her, and the regular beatings she received became a way of life. Eventually, she had some really lovely long hair and they cut it right off so it looked stupid in one of the old-fashioned bonnets. But it didn't affect her at all. In fact, it made her faith stronger, and she had a firm love for her Lord. And in 1928, she left home, went into the Salvation Army Training College. But I have to say, before that happened, she had the joy of seeing both her parents receive the love of God into their lives. And that started nearly 50 years of loving and spreading the wonderful love of God to other people. Love is one powerful four-letter word, a very powerful one. And we might ask ourselves, how can we be sure that God is always with us and willing to help? Well, it's simply because God's love for us. The love of God is the sure foundation of faith in him. He loves absolute every bit of us, every one of us. We're never alone without him. God's love for us is unfailing. It never stops. It's eternal. And the more we become rooted and grounded in God's love, the more we will become happy, fruitful, fulfilled people. It says in Ephesians 3, verse 18, I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. You know, the Apostle Paul suffered severe persecution everywhere he went because he preached the life-saving gospel of Jesus Christ. While facing hatred of the religious leaders at that time, in the midst of all the pain it cost him, he wrote these incredible words, and you find them in Romans chapter 8. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, except ourselves, of course. Paul knew from his own experience that it is God's burning love that kept him during even the worst trials of his lifetime. And it was the compassionate love of God that motivated him to keep fighting the good fight of faith, to reveal Jesus Christ to the world. God had poured out his mercy in the heart of Paul. Because of God's love, Paul was willing to face the hatred and the rejection and the betrayal and even torture. He only had one desire,
And that was to reveal to people that God loves them with a love that goes beyond their wildest dreams. And you and I, who have claimed to be Christians, that is our purpose here. It should be our desire to reveal to people in this town that God loves them beyond their wildest dreams. Ephesians again says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in transgressions." But it all starts with God's love for us. I'm sure many of you have heard of Rick Warren. In the core here, we did a number of years ago quite a big series that he's written books about. And he says this: the most amazing conversion in the Bible is of a guy named Saul, who was a religious extremist that killed Christians. And one day on his way to Damascus, he encountered the resurrected Jesus. And Jesus said to Saul, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul fell to his knees and said, "My Lord and my God." The man who had once been a religious extremist became the apostle of love. Saul, now as we know Paul, wrote most of the New Testament, including the most beautiful words of love that we've just written from Corinthians. It's an everlasting, completely free love that God wants to give us. And it's a love that changes lives. I ask you now, have you allowed God's love to change your life? Nothing you've ever done or will ever do can stop God from loving you. He says in Jeremiah 31, "I love you with an everlasting love." Well, we know what everlasting is. It's forever. You can't stop God loving you. He will love you forever. His love isn't based on what you do, but it's based on who he is. That's why God sent his son. And that's why we have that wonderful verse of scripture: "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God wants you to know his love. Even more than that, he wants you to feel his love. I think most of us here know God's love, but do we actually feel it? Have we allowed him to fill our lives with his love? God's love will transform you when you feel it. It turns somebody who is hateful, bigoted, racist into a kind, gentle, and loving person. When God's love hits your heart, it changes you. If your life hasn't changed, then you don't know God. You can't have somebody as big as God come into your life and not be changed by it. When God's love comes into your life, it changes how you react to everyone else, how you truly understand and experience the love of God. You can't help but pass it on to others. Is that you? Do you actually, a Christian like that, do you feel every day you just can't help passing God's love on to others? I wonder. Jesus described it like this. He said, "I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." But that love starts with God's love for us. The everlasting, completely free love of God will do that. It changes lives. I ask you, has it changed your life yet? He wants to save us. The Bible says that God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, that who believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That means that God's love for humanity, God's love for you, for your neighbor, for your family, was so great that he sacrificed his son on the cross for your sins. When we experience God's love, everything changes and we begin to think and act in ways that we'd never have considered before. When we're filled with his love, we want to spend more time with him. When we're filled with his love, we want to keep him in our hearts, even as we go about our everyday lives. We are more careful not to lose sight of his presence when we know his love in our lives. Remember that experiencing God's love is a journey. It's not a destination. It takes time and effort and patience to develop a deeper relationship with him. But it's a relationship that we need and we should long for. But with persistence and faith, you can experience this fullness of love in your life. It can be done by serving others. Serving others is a great way to show God's love and to experience his love in return. You can volunteer at a local charity, help out here in the church, or simply be kind to those around you. You can experience the fullness of his love by forgiveness. Forgiveness is an important part of experiencing God's love. When we forgive others, we are showing them the same grace and mercy that God has shown us. This can help us experience his love more fully. Church can be a great way to connect with other believers and experience God's love in a community setting. Here in our church, you can also participate in worship services, Bible studies, and other activities that will help you grow in your faith. God's love is unconditional. As humans, we love each other most often conditionally. We're drawn to some people more than others, and as a result, we love the ones we feel connected with. God, however, loves each of us unconditionally. And I tell you this morning, his love never changes. You can rely on his love. God loves every individual. That's you. That's me. That's the band. That's the songsters. And he wants each one of us to know him personally. Through the gift of salvation, we can receive the Holy Spirit who enables us to abide in Jesus and follow him. And this is the path to the joy and contentment God has planned for us. He gave Jesus so that you and me could have life in all its fullness. Are you there yet? Are you there yet? If you ever wonder if God loves you, look at the cross. The cross is God's way of saying, I love you so much. And with his outstretched arms, God's final words to us are etched on a Roman cross that are blood red. And it says, I love you. I love you. The cross says, I love you. How do you love him? This morning, there's an opportunity as we come together in prayer to ask the Lord to give you more of his love if you don't have it now. If you're not someone who loves so much that you just can't stop telling other people about it, well, maybe we should become more like that. But just remember that God loves you. We're going to sing a little song. And it's a sermon in itself. And it's number 467 in your song book. And it says simply this. If human hearts are often tender, and human minds can pity no, if human love is touched with splendor, and human hands compassion, though. And then it goes on to say, then how much more will God our Father in love forgive, then how much more shall God our Father at once supply and none deny? You know, it's easy in the world we live in to fall out with someone and to say, I'm never going to forgive them. But that's not the love of God. Look what he did for us. So if you find it a struggle to love someone, then, you know, come to the Lord. Ask him to give him more of your love so that we, like him, can forgive. We'll sing this first verse, please. second verse says, if sometimes men can live for others, and sometimes give where gifts are spurned, if sometimes treat their foes as brothers, and love where love is not returned, then how much more shall God our Father in love forgive, in love forgive. And the final verse which we sing prayerfully together, if men will often share their gladness, if men respond when children cry, if men can feel each other's sadness, each other's tears attempt to dry, then how much more shall God our Father in love forgive, in love forgive. Then how much more shall God our Father our wants supply and none deny. We have a great God. We sang with the children, so high you can't get over him, so low. And his love he wants to give us is absolutely amazing. So this morning, I simply say that if you cannot say you're fully filled with his love, then as we sing this last verse and chorus, just ask him to bring his love into your life more fully. Let's pray. Lord, we know how great your love is, and we have felt it in our lives time and time again. But forgive us if we fail to show that love to others. I just simply pray now that for every member of our congregation this morning, we'll want to know your love more and accept it greater into your life, because love changes things. And there are people outside in Phoenix that are waiting to be changed, but it's going to come through the love that's in your heart and life when you witness to them. Lord, help us to be that sort of people. Ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. Well, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about God's love? Not keep it to ourselves. It's for me. Sorry, knocked you up there. But the final song that we're going to stand and sing is I want to sing it. I want to shout it. I want to tell you all about it. The love of Jesus. It brings the glory to my soul. Is his love bringing glory to your soul this morning? I can't see it on your faces, but there's a few nodding, that's good. So we'll stand together. I think we could have a little introduction from the band. And it's 370 in the songbook if you need it. No, that was hopeless. I didn't see much glory in your soul there when you sing it. I know it's new to some of you, but you've sung it once, so you should know it now. So can we repeat it again, Kevin, please? And come on, smile. You can clap your hands. We'll give it a go anyway. Thank you, Lord, they've woken up. Really good. That's what we've got to do now. We've got to sing it, we've got to shout it, we've got to tell everyone about the love of Jesus. But you can only do that if you've got the love in your heart. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our worship. We pray now that as we separate and go our different ways, as some go to open air, tea and coffee, and some straight home, I just ask that you keep us safe until we meet again. Amen. God bless.